have our covenant service at 10:30, and we have Reverend Darren Howe, who's come and share his testimony of growing up in the Glasgow area in Scotland and all the trials he faced and coming to Christ. And it's a powerful testimony, and I do encourage you to come along or invite somebody to come. There's a bit of where it was on BBC. He shared on BBC. It's on the Little Over Methodist web Facebook page. Have a look and you can get a glimpse of what he's going to share. But tomorrow we also make our covenant prayer. It's been a Methodist tradition for a few hundred years now. And when Wesley did this 300 years ago, he met on New Year's Eve, and it was the most incredible New Year's Eve that he ever had. And he met with his fellow leaders and the people in the society in London, and they prayed and they sought after God, and they asked God's presence to come. And around 3 p.m. in the morning, the presence of God fell upon them. And when they should have been tired, they raised up in joy and love, proclaiming God and rejoicing in Him, and His presence just came upon them, and they just enjoyed His presence, empowered and transformed. And that group of people with Wesley went on to be a move of God and make transformation. And the aspect of the covenant prayer is that you say, I am no longer my own, I am yours. And I hope tomorrow, after the day, I hope that prayer tomorrow takes on a new significance for you. That you say, in my life, in my ministry, in my work, and all the aspects that I do and live and be, I'm no longer my own. I'm yours, God. Use me. Let me do your will. Let me do your purpose. Let me seek you first in your kingdom and your glory and your power. I'm no longer my own. I'm yours. My family are no longer my own, they're yours. And today some of you might be thinking about your own faith, your own salvation, your own God speaking to you, and to let God work in your heart, let God move in your heart, let God speak to you again and refresh you and remind you of His love for you and how much He loves you, and that you're His and you belong to Him, and He loves you and desires you. And He feels your pain, He feels your hurt, He feels your loss, He feels that. But there's nothing better than the presence of God. If you think anything else is going to console you, it won't. There's nothing better than the power of God. And I want to, before we have a few minutes to share, last words from John Wesley. If you seek happiness in God alone, you will never be disappointed. You get those words into your head. You can move from community to community, church to church, movement to movement, different thing. But if you're trusting in them, you will be disappointed. If you're trusting in me, you'll be disappointed in me. I'm disappointed in me every day. So why shouldn't you be disappointed? But if you seek happiness in God alone, you will never be disappointed. If anything else, you surely will. For all, he said, you'll never be disappointed. If in anything else you look for happiness, you surely will be disappointed, for all creatures are broken systems. It's quite harsh, isn't it? But all creatures and everything else you seek are a broken system. They're going to contain dirty water, contaminated water, water that will not give you life. Only God will give you life. Only happiness in God will give you life. Only drinking from the wells that you dig into His presence and His glory and His life will give you living waters. Let your eye be single. Yeah. Be cross-eyed even. Just focus on Him. Seek one thing. Save your own soul and those that hear you. We could add those who see you, those who experience you, those who taste you, that they will see that God is good. So I want you to go from this place, not going to think you had another nice day in the Methodist Church, or you had your first nice day in the Methodist Church. But go trusting and believing that you are a move of God, that God has plans and purposes for you that will bring transformation, revival, awakening into your life. And when it's in your life, then those that hear you, those who see you, will happen in their life. And we declare that and we believe it, don't we? We have to stop the negativity. We have to stop the words that go against things and declare, yeah, God, you can do it. God, you can do it in my life. If you can do it in my neighbor's life, you can do it in my life. You can do it in Gary's life, you can do it in my life. You can do it in Dave's life, you can do it in my life. Become what God has called you to be. Listen to Him. And be wise and listen to those around you, but to remember everyone else's broken systems. Only the living power and word and spirit of God give you true guidance. And God's taken us somewhere as individuals, as a community. He's taken us to new places. Are we brave enough to go? Are we brave enough to take the next step into the unknown, to step over the cliff, to unplug the dam, to let the water flood over us, to be washed away? To live in the unknown, to say, God, I'm going to trust in you because you know, I may not know, but you know, and I'm trusting that you have the best, that you have the plans and purposes for us. God, I'm trusting in you. God, unblock what needs to be unblocked. Clear the arteries that need to be cleared. Dig the new systems that need to be built, dug. Send the fresh waters that need to be drank. But restore me and enable me to stand firm in the battle and victorious. And find joy and happiness in you. When Wesley records that meeting at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m., can you imagine? Must have been, he talks about one of the most joyous moments in his life, joyous moments of being in presence with God. And when you get that point where you're actually there in prayer and you're seeking God and it's joyous and you don't want to be anywhere else but in the presence of God, we know we're gaining victory when God becomes the first, the joy, the happiness of being in His presence. Amen. I want to take an opportunity. We've got a few minutes. If anybody wants to share anything that they particularly felt that God put in their hearts, then maybe the people who are leading the groups, they've got something, maybe something that they feel they need to share from that group, or somebody may feel that there's something that God's put in their heart. That's, you don't have to. We can finish now, but I want to offer you an opportunity. And to say if there's anything which is on your heart. Because I think when we testify together, it does something. It helps us, doesn't it? It encourages us. It makes us bold. So you're all nodding, but nobody's... you're all in agreement. But...
nothing profound, but... Our group felt that this was a very valuable day, that it was a good day, especially, you know, most of us here are working hard in some aspect of the church to just come and be receive and be still and listen to God, have the kids looked after, has been a real blessing for our group. So there was an encouragement that this isn't a one-off, that we should do it more, and then maybe even have some days together where we have fun together and just be daft together. Amen. But anyway, our group was very positive about this morning, about testimony, about real testimony, about how things really are, and about the day.
Amen. God bless you.
I just shared with our group that I was sitting in the sweetie corner and among other thoughts I was looking at the lovely bowl of chocolate eggs and I kept thinking, they look really nice, I'd really like one, but do I need it? And what will everybody else think if I reach out and actually take one that looks a bit greedy? But I did take one and it was really nice and it just felt that God was saying, he's offering us, and we need to reach out and take it. And if we don't take it, however nice it might look, we're not going to know how good it is.
Amen.
So I would encourage you to take one of these on the way out, because we have got to unwrap what God is offering us. We can look at it and it might look very nice, but if we don't unwrap it, if we don't taste and see that the Lord is good, then we won't know the full benefits of what he has for this place. So please take a chocolate on the way out. If you don't, I'll have to take these home with me, and I really don't want to do that.
God bless. Oh, fantastic.
So God's just brought really clearly to mind the passage in Mark about the healing of the blind man. It's the one where he puts the mud on his eyes twice. The first time he only sees people, he says they look like trees walking around. And then he put his hands on the man's eyes a second time and they were opened and his sight was fully restored. And I think what God was saying to me is today's that first step. At the moment, don't panic that we don't see the full picture. We don't see everything clearly at the moment. We see more than we saw this morning, but we don't have the full picture yet. But that second stage is still to come. That's still coming, where he's going to put his hands on our eyes again and reveal things clearly to us in full colour and clarity. So I think that's an encouragement. We're on our way. God's done a work. He started that. But he isn't going to leave us where we are. So don't panic if you don't feel you've got a full picture yet. More is coming.
Amen.
We had a very useful discussion about all sorts of things. And I could tell you that prior to that, God spoke to me through a passage of scripture, but I'm not going to go into that now. All I'm going to say to you is, as a result of today, Angelina, bless her, is going to knock on every door in her neighbourhood and tell whoever answers the door that Jesus loves them.
Amen.
Isn't that brilliant?
Amen. God is good. Amen.
So I'd be back generally on behalf of my group. Everyone seems to have a great time, as people have said already, and got a lot out of the day. There's a word that generally came through the feedback, I thought, that was daily. We had the beginning thought that actually God's mercies are new every morning. And the thought that if you miss a morning, you miss some of those blessings, which is interesting. And to go back daily, and how the journey is daily as well, and how God is with us every day for that whole journey. It's very, very good. There's lots of good stuff. But.
Amen. It's very powerful. He's there with us every day, isn't it? We miss a day and we think he's not going to be there next day, but he is waiting.
Really, while we were getting smoky outside, one of the things that came through was this idea of proximity. We were looking at the transformation into the likeness of Christ. Now, that's a process. It's not a one-off shot. It's a partnership. It's ongoing. With both groups, actually, the thing that kept coming back to me was my quiet time from Thursday, I think. I've been wading my way through 2 Kings and I got to the end. And 2 Kings is such a depressing read. Until the last, that one chapter, when it's talking about Hezekiah and Josiah. Yeah. And in the reign of this young king, Josiah, one of the priests stumbles up to me and says, I've been having a clear out in the temple. And I found this weird book. It's the book of the law. And for a generation, it brought life. For a generation, it brought life. People who didn't know what to do suddenly knew what to do. People that didn't know how to follow God suddenly knew how to follow God. Mm. Daily, dig in.
Dig in, yeah.
Daily, dig in. Rediscover God's word. He'll meet you there every day without fail. If we want to know how to live like Jesus, Gary said it, first sentence this morning, read the Gospels. and copy him.
Amen.